We begin today's shiur about halfway down the Omid. You'll notice an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which indicates to look back to Yud Tes Omid Beis. And if you like, you can count 19 lines down from the top. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice a topic heading where we've written Kium Shtar Mishtar Acher. In our previous discussion, and we continue it now, we were dealing with the issue of signature or document verification. Here, we will discuss verifying signatures in a given document by comparing the signatures in this document to those that are found in a previous or another document. The Gemara, Omar Mar, Im Yesh Edim Shiksav Yodom Huzeh. If there are witnesses that can independently verify these signatures, independent from the actual signers that are claiming it is their signature, in our previous discussion we saw a case of witnesses saying, yes, these are our signatures, but we signed under duress or we were incapable or incompetent at the time. If you have outside witnesses, independent sources of verification. Oy shohoy ksav yodom yoytsi mimokam acher mishtar shekov aror v'huchsuk bebeisdin, or you can compare the signatures in this document with the signatures found in another document, another shtar, that had been subjected to a challenge of veracity and withstood the challenge. Then these witnesses that are claiming that these are their own signatures, but they were incapable or disqualified or under duress, they would then not be believed. Because as we saw in our previous year, you are lacking the element of Pesha Osar Hu Ha Pesha Hitir. Pesha Osar is the opening statement that creates obligation, is not dependent on them anymore because we can verify the signatures from an outside source. Hence, the Pesha Hitir also doesn't follow suit. Their expression of release from obligation or the dissolution of the shtar is no longer binding. We now analyze this quote, Kora Olav Aror, in the outside document. For it to be a source of verification, we said it itself had to be subject to a challenge where it was challenged and withstood the challenge, challenged as to its authenticity. So, koro alav aror in, lo koro alav aror lo. If that external document with these signatures in it was not subjected to an aror, a challenge, then it wouldn't be a sufficiently strong source of verification. Mesayele de Rabbi Yasi. This supports Rabbi Yasi, Diom Rabbi Yasi. Ein mekaymen es hashtar. We don't establish and verify signatures based on another document. Elo mishtar shekorov aro v'huchsu bebeisdin. Unless it was a document that was challenged and withstood the challenge. It was challenged as being a forgery, but nevertheless withstood that challenge in a court. Once that happens, it becomes a solid source of verification, and I can use it to establish the signatures in this document that we're currently dealing with. Amri Nahardoi, Ein Mekaymen Es Hashtar Elo Mishtei Ksubos O Mishtei Sodois. One cannot verify a document and its signatures unless you have two other documents. Two Ksubos, Ksubos are the marriage or financial agreement documents in which these witnesses signed, or from a document, a deed, a title of deed, or a document of sale. Mishtei Sodos means literally from two fields, but it's a reference to titles of transfer of ownership in which these witnesses had signed. Provided those fields have been occupied and used by the owner as a result of these documents for a period of 3 years without its without their ownership being challenged. Omer Avisimi Bar Ashi Uvayotse Mitachas Yad Acher. The reliance upon these documents is provided it's they're owned or they're in the possession of some outsiders, others. Avomiat Atzmoy Loi. But to think that the fellow who has a document that needs verification, he himself is producing these other documents, that is not going to work. The Gemara continues with a question. Why are you saying that if these other documents are in his very possession, are we not going to rely on them? Dilma ziyufi mizayef. He would have the opportunity to simply forge the signatures that were in those other documents and write them on this document that he wants verified. Well, if that in fact is the reason why Tachas Yad Atzmo, we're not going to rely on them because of this suspicion of forgery, Mitachas Yadei Acher Nami, even if the documents are being produced by others, Dilma Ozel V'Choza Also, if maybe this fellow who needs his document verified went to that other party, saw the signatures there, and by memory he forged them onto his document. The Gemara says that's kind of far fetched. Kule hai lo motzi mechavein. Unless you're dealing with some type of very rare type of photographic memory, you don't have to take that into consideration, that he'll, from having seen the signatures on documents in someone else's possession, he'll then remember what it looked like, what they looked like, and he would be able to replicate them on his particular document. As we say, that's kule hai, that's so far fetched, if you will, he wouldn't be able to do an accurate forgery in such a case. Therefore, if the documents are emerging from the possession of some outsiders, then we can in fact rely on them as a source of verification of the authenticity of these signatures. As you can see, we have a slash mark that indicates that which follows is a new idea. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Aid Hane'ezar, a witness, when called upon to testify, in order to help his memory, he is assisted by Maya Shekosav Pam Al Eze Shehi Erua. Imagine a person maintains a diary, and in that he describes various events. He might describe a loan that he saw extended numerous years earlier. And he's now called upon to testify about the loan, and he reads his diary entry, Kedei Lizocher B'Protim, in order to remember details, Amanas Lloyd, in order to testify. So, testimony, which is, we'll say, based on and assisted by some writing of his, is that considered legitimate testimony, or are we to assume that testimony is something that only information that you on your very own through your own memory are capable of producing, only that would be acceptable testimony? We should point out there is a pasuk which states Al pi shnayim edim o shloisha edim yokum davar. Alpi literally means according to their mouths. Their mouths means something that they recall by heart. Does that exclude, or possibly not, that which they testify based on having read something written? The Gemara now. Tanu Rabbanan. Kosev Adam Eduso Al Hashtar Umeid Oleo Afilu Lachar Kamashanim. A person can write down Eduso, his testimony, meaning the events, the incident that he saw, and he can write that on a document, and then based on that testify even after many years. Omar Ravuna Vahu Shizoichro Meatzmoi. This method of testimony by reading that which you had written down is acceptable if you were able to remember the events without that document. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Afapi She'ein Zochro Me'atzmo. Rabbi Yochanan says even if he was incapable of remembering the events other than having been read the Shtar. Let's read the Rashi that accompanies this, six lines from the bottom. Afapi She'ein Zochro Me'atzmo. Actually, before we read that Rashi, the Rashi before with regarding Rav Huna, Shezochro Me'atzmo, Rav Huna says that you can testify if you remembered on your own. Below Riyas Hashtar, Nizkar Ktsas Me'edus Me'erlov. The source that said that you can testify from a document in which you recorded the events that you saw, that is provided, according to Rav Huna, that even without reading the document, you were able to remember some of the details on your own. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Afalpi, we continue with the Rashi, Afalpi she'ein zochro me'atzmo, elo li'achar shiroi b'shtar, rather, after he read what was written in his document, Nosan Belibo Venizkar, he then applied himself and that joggled his memory and he was able to remember. Shalo Nishtakach Mimenu Kolkach Shekeshimazkirim Loi Nizkar. Wasn't so forgotten from him that even when reminded he wouldn't be able to remember. So that if he had that level of remembering that after having been reminded he then remembered, that's good enough. Avoleno Nizkar Lagamri Loi, that if, however, he doesn't remember at all, even after having read the information, that would not be acceptable. The Rachmon Amar, the Torah says, Mipihem, Velo Mipi Ksovim. Information from their mouths, from their memories, that's what we need, not something that is read. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabba, Shema Mino Mir Rabbi Yochanan, from, there's another Girsa, by the way, that reads this as Rava, that says, we conclude from Rabbi Yochanan, Hani Beitre, Diadi Sadusa, two witnesses that had been familiar with an incident, the new testimony, Umanshi Chad Minayu, and one of them forgot, Midgar Chad Lechavre, the other witness can remind the fellow that forgot, Ibaya Laho, Atzmo Mai. What is the law if the defendant himself, the Baldin himself, the litigant himself, reminded the witness until he was able to remember? So we saw that one witness can remind the fellow witness about the events. What about the litigant himself? Rav Chaviva Omar Afilu Atzmo. Rav Chaviva says that's okay. And more Bered Rav Ashi Omar Atzmo Lo. Vilchaso Atzmo Lo. The Gemara rules that if it's the litigant that's going to be the one reminding the witness, that's not acceptable. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'i Tzubim Rabbonon. Who? If the witness in question, the one who forgot, is a Torah scholar, he's a Talmud Chacham, Afilu Atzmo, then even if the litigant is the one reminding, will and the Talmud Chacham says, now I remember, we can rely on that. Rashi at the top, Afilu Atzmo, Shel Baldin, Titzum Rabbonon, because with regard to a Talmud Chacham, he loved the Chiromi Anaf Shei Midkar Shapir, if not for the fact that he himself was able to recall, thanks to the assistance, lo have somech asfeko lemekam vasuvi, he wouldn't get up on a basis of a possible, on a doubt, and go ahead and testify. So that when you're dealing with a Tzum Rabbanon, if it's the litigant that reminded him, then we can rely on the fact that the Talmud Chacham himself had successfully recalled the event. Ki ha de Rav Ashi, here's a little incident to illustrate this. Hava yedia le besadusa de Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi knew of information that would serve as testimony on behalf of Rav Kahana. Omar le, Rav Kahana says, mi dochir mor hai sadusa? Do you remember the incident in question? Omar le lo, and Rav Ashi says, no, I don't remember. V'lav hochi v'hochi hava, and Rav Kahana, who needs this testimony, he says, well, wasn't it such and such and such and such? He was trying to joggle Rav Ashi's memory. Omar le lo yodana, and Rav Ashi says, no, I don't remember. Lasof idka Rav Ashi, and then Rav Ashi did remember. Asid le, and he got up to testify. So that if you will, it was a case involving a loan or a sale that would benefit Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi got up and testified. Let us say that, yeah, Rav Kahana did loan so and so the money. Chazil Rav Kahana daha dehaven machsim. Rav Ashi noticed that Rav Kahana was hesitant. That true, the testimony led to Rav Kahana's, let's say, victory in the case, but he was hesitant to follow suit, to take advantage of whatever the case was that would benefit him. Omar le, Rav Ashi said, I see you're hesitating, but mi savris olecho kosamichna, do you think that my testimony was simply in total reliance upon what you said? Anohu deramoy, anafshoy v'adkri, I extended myself, I strained myself, and I remembered on my own. Of course, after you had joggled my memory, but I remembered on my own. And only then did I testify. So you can rely on the testimony that benefits you. On the side, we have a topic heading, a no say. Haraya tale. One sees a mound of earth. Haim yesh lachsha shekovu shamadim. Do you have to suspect that maybe someone is buried there? Shikulim, there's different considerations that we'll see in this suki, in this discussion. Merchak lo'ir, the distance from a city. Korov, rochog, is it near the city or far from the city? Gilo shel hatel, the age, how long has it been there? Chadash, yoshan, is it a recent mound or a one that had been there for many years before? The Gemara. Tanan hosam. The Tanaic source says, and we have a marking, you can see the geometric shape that appears here. This is to highlight the words krovos and rechokos. These are ones that are near and ones that are far. Hatluyos, tluyos is the plural form of tail. Tail is a mound of earth. Atulios hakroivois, bain l'ir ubain l'derech, whether they're near the city or near the road, echod chadoshos ve'echod yishonos, whether they are new, whether they are old, tameos, they are a source. They represent a source of tuma, of defilement, as we indicated earlier. The suspicion that there is a body buried there. Rashi points out that with regard to these mounds, it was common for people to bury in mounds of earth. The terms city and road, new and old, will be scrutinized by the Gemara later on. Rashi, on the second narrow line, Echot Chadoshes, She'ein Zman Rochoik, not a long time ago, Shelo Hoya Kan Tail, not long ago, there was no mound over here. De Iko Lememar Kevon de Chadoshehi Im Iso Shenikbar Shom Meis Mid Kadocherle. Being that it was, it's only of recent appearance, you might think that if someone was buried there, someone would certainly remember. Afilu Hachi, even so, meaning that you don't have anyone saying, yeah, there's someone buried there. Tameos Misofik. There is Tuma applied to these new mounds from a standpoint of doubt. The Kevon, the Smucha Leir, since they're near the town, Ikola Meimar, there is room for thinking. Isha yechida halcha v'kavra shem nefesh shela. A woman went on her own, unaccompanied, and buried a miscarriage of hers there. And if she went alone, so no one's going to know about it. We continue in the Gemara. Horachoykos, mounds that are distant. Chadoshas tahoros, yeshonas tameos. The new ones are deemed undefiled. A woman isn't going to go far away to bury the miscarriage in a mound, so that if it's a new mound, and as we said, and it's rachok, it's far, the situation of a woman going on her own over there doesn't exist. So if someone had been buried there, it would be known, it would be something known. Yeshonos, mounds that are distant but have been there for a long time. Tameos, they're deemed tame, if whatever happened there has already been forgotten. A zohi krova, how do you define near? We said near a city, that we say that even the new ones are considered tame. Chamishim amma, within 50 amas. 50 amas, roughly 25 meters. Ezohi yeshana, what's considered old, that we say, even if it's far away, which, as we said before, would preclude the possibility of a woman going there on her own, we will still deem it tmeya. What is yeshana? What's the definition of old? Shishim shana, divrei Rabbi Meir, 60 years. It's been there for 60 years. Once it's been there for 60 years, then people will forget. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, krova, the definition of krova in his mind is all relative, means she'ein krova himenu. There, it is the closest one. The second mound, meaning if there's an addition, if there are more mounds, even if that those additional ones are within 50 amos, they still will be deemed tohar. Yeshona means she'ein adam zocha. There's no one that remembers. The idea of there's no one other mounds, even if they're within 50 amos or tar, because the woman that we were suspicious of going on her own, she would only go to the closest one, not skip over it to go to something further out. My ear, my derech. In this source, you can see we have little arrows to the side of the Gemara text. We mentioned city and path. What do you mean by those words? Elamo. By the way, this clarification lasts four lines. Elamo, ear mamish. If you're going to suggest that ear means an actual city, and the word derech is derech mamish, a road. Misfeika mi machsekinon tuma. Because we have a doubt. Are you going to then say that all these places, mounds around all cities, and mounds near roads, all roads, all of these are tome? Because you have an element of doubt, it's kind of broad and far-reaching how much you're going to be metame. The Omar Reish Lakish, Ilo Motsu, Reish Lakish said in another context, found in Maseches Nazir, the Ilo is an excuse or a reason was found, the Tiaru Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of that, they were able to declare the land of Israel in many locations as being Tohar. So you see that even if there's an element of doubt, but you have some basis for ruling an area tohar, undefiled, we would do so. So the path of logic or the direction of legal ruling is not in the direction of just defile out of doubt. Omar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera clarifies. Ir equals ir hasmucha lebeis hakvoros. When we speak about mounds near cities, we're talking about cities that are located near cemeteries. And derech is a reference to derech Beis HaKfaras, not all roads, but rather those roads leading to cemeteries. The Gemara explains further. Bishlama derech Beis HaKfaras, we can understand the reference to the path to cemeteries. The zimnin de misrami bein hashmoshes. It can happen that you're at a late Friday afternoon. Bein hashmoshes means the time period right before the onset of Shabbos. It's a reference specifically to Friday at dusk. And there isn't enough time to reach the actual cemetery. Umikru kovru b'teil. And as a result, people might start out in the direction of the cemetery on that very road that leads to the cemetery, find that they're not going to make it. So they'll bury whatever needs to be buried there in the mound near the road. Elair hasmucha lebeis hakfaras. But when you're dealing with cities that have cemeteries near them, kuli lebeis hakfaras asli, people there will go to the cemetery. Why are the mounds around those cities considered tomei? Omar Rebbe Chanino, mitoch she'anoshim koivrois shom niflehem, umukeshchin zrosehem. Since we have this phenomenon of women bearing their miscarriages and people who are afflicted with shchin, shchin is a type of disease where limbs can fall off an individual. And a limb is mitame, a limb of a person can serve as a source for defilement. Ad chamishim amo azlo ihi lechuda. Within 50 amos of town, she'll go on her own. And we have to suspect that that's what happened. Tfei, more than 50 amos, she would never go alone. Dabra inish ba'da lebeis hakfaras azlo. She would have a man accompany her and go all the way to the cemetery. Hilkoch tumo be'eretz Yisrael lo machzikinon. Therefore, on our own, simply to impose a tuma suspicion in the land of Israel, that we would not do. Omar Rav Chisda, shma mino mi Rabbi Meir, from Rabbi Meir's comment, and we can use the star to the immediate side of the Gemara text, and you go up to the upper star, the left side of the Gemara text. You see, Rabbi Meir spoke about Yoshana being 60 years. That's the point at which people would not remember anymore. So we can conclude from Rabbi Meir, Hai Sadusa, testimony. Ad Shis and Shonin Midkar, up till 60 years, a person will remember. Tfei Lo Midkar. Events that took place more than 60 years ago, if you are going to expect someone to testify about it, you could forget about relying on his testimony. He won't be able to remember it. Velohi, and that is not so. There's a difference between recognizing or remembering events concerning burials around towns and events in which you were the witness, where you were expected to serve as witness. Hasam hu, there in the case of burials, there the lo ramya ole, it's not something upon him to remember. It's not an obligation on a person to remember what happened in different mounds in different locations. Aval hacha, but where you were appointed as a witness to an event, to a loan, to a sale, to some type of occurrence that requires testimony, where you were appointed to be the witness, Kevon de Ramu Ale, since it's upon you, it's your obligation, it's the obligation that rests upon you, Afilu Tuva Nami, even more than 60 years. If a witness says, yes, I remember the event, we can rely on him. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter this new Mishnah. On the side, we have this under the title heading, Kiyum Shtaros. Verification of signatures. Ze Omer, one witness says, Ze Ksav Yodi, Ze Ksav Yodi Shel Chaveri. This is my signature, and the other signature is my friend's signature, meaning these are authentic signatures. In Jewish law, it should be known that you need to have a minimum of two witnesses to establish testimony. So the two signatures that are signed here are verified by the signer himself, saying this is my signature, and his recognition of the fellow signer. V'zeh omer, zeh ksav yodi, v'zeh ksav yodo shel chaver. And the other witness says likewise regarding his own signature and the first witness's signature. Hare elu ne'emonim. These are to be trusted. Now Rashi adds, Hare elu ne'emonim, di'iko tre sadi, demisidi akol ksav uksav. You've got two witnesses regarding each signature. Ze omer ze ksav yodi, v'ze omer ze ksav yodi. You have two witnesses, each one testifying about his own signature. He is authenticating his own signature. He doesn't say a word about the other signature. Tzrichim litzaref imoyem achir, divrei Rebbe. In order for signature verification to take place, in a case like this, you'll have to have another party, some outsider, join, and he, that outsider, will assume will recognize both of the signatures, so that now you'll have the signer himself plus the outsider on signature A, and you'll have the signer and the outsider testifying about signature B. So this way, by having the single outsider joining, you'll have two witnesses per signature. V'chachomim omrim einom tzrichim letzarif imoyim achir. According to the Chomim, there is no need for having an outsider join them. Ela ne'emon odom lomar ze ksav yodi. According to the Chomim, a person is believed regarding his own signature to authenticate, this is my signature. So you have the two signatures, each one authenticated by one person, for a total of two people, each one authenticating his own signature. Therefore, you can see there's a machlokis between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding what is necessary in a case where the signers, each one recognizes only their own signature. As the Gemara itself goes on, it will analyze these two opinions and show and present a case where there's actually a practical application of where a difference will be seen in these two opinions. As far as today's shir is concerned, we've come to basically the bottom of the Omid. So in the context of the Daf Yomi, this would be a convenient place to pause.